It's always a joy to be with the DSCNC here at Mauer, and we are always glad to be among you. We want to thank you so much for your prayer for us, your expressions of love and fellowship, and I know that your labor for the Lord will not be in vain. We are so glad to see young people here this morning, and the joy of seeing these dear ones and all of us together. We can say this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. There was a time, I think, then it was just a few, but the Lord has added. And He will continue to multiply. I see there are good signs. So we are very thankful for that. He adds, and He adds sometimes at the beginning. So we are very thankful, but we are glad to be with you. The Lord has been good to us. There have been some difficulties, but the Lord has brought us through them. And He's still working on us, in helping us in many ways. But through it all, I've learned that we can count our blessings and cast our burdens on the Lord and praise Him for the moment by moment together. This morning, I was very blessed by the worship service here. And I don't believe that we need another sermon. We just need to see the Savior more. I was blessed in the fact that the Holy Spirit led this morning in giving Brother Miller, even at the outstart, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He became a curse for us and delivered from the curse of the law. So it was just appealing to me, the songs that we were singing. And then Brother Sam, he concluded that He took our shame and He took our blame. I like that, because He was innocent, but all the things were against Him, that nothing might be against us in the day to come. So what a joy. So in light of that, I said to the Lord, I brought another message, a very good message. I spent time, but I believe the Lord wants us to put it together here and just focus on that. It's enough. So we would just look for a few minutes as the Lord laid on the conquest of the cross, the conquering Christ. You know, so we'll just look at that, and don't worry, the other message, another time maybe. Yes, so in John 20 that we know so well, but we're going to look at conquest of the cross, and just for brevity of time, read 19. From 19, that's John 20, reading from verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when He had so said, He showed them to them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And these words were mentioned in prayer as well. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins He remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins He retain, they shall be retained. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank You for this moment. And we ask now that the Holy Spirit will have absolute sway and speak to us from Your word through this weak vessel, so that You'll get all the glory and the people will be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, one of the things we mentioned today in most of our songs was the word tree. If you look at the songs we sang, you'll see over and over the word tree was mentioned. So I want to just take, since we have young people here, just take you back a little bit, and we'll just look briefly at the trees, and then we would come to this point where... So the first one, Genesis chapter 3, in reading from verse 8, Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And it goes on. So the first one we want to see, if there's one thing we want to know as young people and older ones as well, that in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 3, that verse 1, we'll just read it so that we know. He says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And of course, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That was not true. But anyhow, verse 5, God knew that in that day ye are thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So the three things that the enemy wants to do. Number one, he wants to challenge the authority of the Word of God. So in many of our colleges today, the Word of God is being challenged. It's being disobeyed, distorted, and disregarded. So the first thing that the enemy did was to challenge the authority of the Word of God. Has God said? And then what is happening in our schools today is that there is what we call relative truth instead of absolute truth. And so they are saying, well, you know, it's not really that accurate. So that's what Satan did. Has God said that the authority of God of every tree, that's the accuracy of God's word. Satan will always challenge the authority of God who said it. He'll challenge the accuracy of the word of God. And then he will challenge the acceptability. He was saying to Eve, you don't have to believe that. The day you eat, your eyes are going to be open. You're going to be as gods. So he always affects us. You know, when she saw the fruit, then she desired to get it. She took of the fruit, and then she gave to her husband. So you have the lust of the flesh, you know, the food, the lust of the eyes, which saw, and the pride of life. And these are three areas in which there is spread throughout our universities and our colleges today. But we thank God for young people who are committed to Christ and who are there. So Adam and Eve, the first tree quickly was that having sinned, they were concealing what they had done. They were hiding. And you know, a lot of people are hurting today because they're hiding from being truthful to the Lord. You know, they're covering up. That's if you want to use a simple word. They covered themselves with fig leaves. But we thank God that the Lord still in grace, he called them. What a wonderful God we have. Amazing grace. When he made them, that was power. He made them from the dust of the ground. But when he called them, that was amazing grace. He called them not to condemn them, but he called to clothe them. And in clothing them, he would make a sacrifice, clothe them. We were like that. But a lot of young people, we want to help ourselves and all of us. Now, the thing that we want to do is, one, to believe the authority of God, to believe the accuracy of God's word, and the readiness to accept God's word, regardless of what others think. The truth, there are many, many marches in Washington today, but they all come to an end. But the truth is marching on, and nothing can stop it. And so we want to be the untruth. So that's one of the trees, hiding, covering up. In John chapter 1, and verse 50, we have the fact of Nathanael. Yes, thank you. And 46, he said, Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of God. But I just want to bring out here, under the tree, here with Philip and Nathanael. Nathanael was challenging, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You know, and a lot of people are saying in this world, could anything be good for the Christians to believe in God? But I want you to know the Lord, he sees us and knows us even before we see him and knows him. What a person. Then in Luke 19:3, and he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press, because he was little of stature, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So here is another fact that we have a rich man, but a poor man. Zacchaeus was rich materially, but he was poor spiritually. But he had a desire to see Jesus, and he said he was a short man, something like myself. He was a short man, but he wanted to be able to see. So he had one problem, he was too short. Next problem, he was too high. He went up high on the tree to see. But before he could see Jesus, Jesus saw him. Amen. And the Lord Jesus, in grace again, he told him to come down. The way up is always down. If we exalt ourselves, he would bring us down. But if we humble ourselves, he would exalt us. So he saw Zacchaeus, he knew his need, and he said to him, come down. And we all, I believe you all know the Lord Jesus, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's calling you to come. And you got to come as you are on ground level at the foot of the cross, at the bottom of the tree. And he will always meet you there. Any person who receives Jesus, there is joy. Any person who leaves out Jesus, there was a rich man came to Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus said, go sell what you have and take a cross and follow me. And he said, because he had so much, he went away sorrowful. Any person who rejects Jesus Christ would be a sad person. But when you receive Jesus Christ, you have joy. So 1 Peter 2:24, and then we'll put it all together. Then we'll get into our text quickly. 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe, and verse 24. Yes, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So here we had Adam and Eve behind the tree, covering up. We have Nathanael under the tree, and he's facing the challenge of who's Christ. We have Zacchaeus on the tree, who climbed up on his own to see Jesus, but we have one who came down and received him. But now Peter is telling us, this blessed one, the one we've been singing about, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So we thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, in our worship service, we've been focusing on the cross. And I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to us loudly this morning in our worship service. So now we want to look at the fact that the Lord Jesus, he was condemned, as Brother Sam pointed out. He bore the shame and the blame. He was examined by the highest judge, and it was concluded, I find no fault at all in this man. And yet he was delivered up for us. He was delivered up by Paul. He was delivered up by the Jews because of envy. But he really wasn't delivered up by them. He was delivered by God. Amen. God the Father, you remember in Romans 8 and verse 32, remember he said, Romans 8, 32, let me remember. But remember, God spared not his son. Yeah, God spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all. So God was in it. God was the one. But delivered him up for us all. So the Lord Jesus was not just delivered by the Jews, not just delivered by Pilate, but God, way back, delivered him up for us. So what a wonderful person he is. And so we find here that in John chapter 20 now, the Lord Jesus in resurrection, and this is what I want to get at, the identity of Jesus Christ. He came to them and he showed them, it says on the first of the week, 20 and verse 20, he says, and when, well, read 19 to correspond. Then the same day at evening, being the first of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. The first day of the week. And we know that young people are taught very well here. But there are many people today who are thinking that Sunday is the Sabbath day for the Christians. You know, they call it the Christian Sabbath. But there is no such thing. Sunday is never the Christian Sabbath. The Sabbath was established in creation as rest. The Lord Jesus, after he labored, he created for 6 days, he rested, past tense. He rested, not that he was resting. And then the Lord Jesus, he came and said, my Father work and I must work also. So the Sabbath was given to the Jewish people as a sign. So the first day of the week is never the Christian Sabbath. It was given to the Jews as a sign. The first day of the week is the Lord's Day. And you remember John, he was on the Lord's Day in the Spirit. And so in Acts 17, in I believe verse 20, he said they gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread. And 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, on the first day they made collections. So the first day of the week is the day of resurrection when we come together to remember the Lord. It's not the Sabbath rest, but it's the day of the Lord. It's the Lord's day. That's why we come together and everything we did this morning is about the Lord. It's the Lord's day. We remember the Lord's body and the bread. We remember the Lord's request. This do remember me. And as often we do, we show forth the Lord's death. It's all about the Lord. Amen. So it's a wonderful thing to really grasp that on the first of the week. But we want to look at something that happened on Resurrection Day. The Lord Jesus was there and the disciples, many of them fled. In Matthew 26 and verse 56, it said they all forsook him and fled. Thank God John was there. And perhaps Peter was at a distance, we don't know. But anyhow, the Lord Jesus was there on the cross. And when he died, that was the last time they saw him. He was for a while. He was then buried, took down and from the cross and buried. And by the way, for young people, you know, it's a minus sign, a cross, a little horizontal sign. That's from Adam all the way down. That's Romans 5:12. As by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men. All have sinned. That's a minus sin. That's a minus. But when Jesus came, he turned that minus into a plus. That's why the cross is a plus sign. Amen? And he came to change it around. So as young people and all of us here today, we, instead of being under sin, without God, without hope, and without Christ, now Jesus not only died for our sins, he died for the consequences of our sins, which is death, and he gave us his righteousness. He imputed his righteousness to us. So our righteousness is alone in Christ. And so here he came on the first day of the week. The disciples were scared because they were not sure what would happen, and the doors were closed. But the Lord Jesus, he came in. He came in full body, but resurrection body, glorified body. Nothing can keep him out. I don't know what situation you might be going to. You might feel shut in. You might feel isolated. You might feel nothing's happening, but I want you to know no barrier can keep him out from reaching into your heart, reaching into your home. And so he came in and he saw them. Now we want to look at the fact that here was his identity mentioned, the identification of Christ. He showed them his hands and his side. It's wonderful. They knew. And I think once the brothers in Thanksgiving said, we shall see him and recognize the nails and the print of the nails in his hands, you know. I think there's a song that says those words, I shall know him, I shall know him. As redeemed by his side I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. So we will see him, but we don't have to wait to see the nail print. You and I who put our faith and trust in him, we see Jesus now crowned with glory and honor. By faith, we see him. And so he revealed to them his hands and his side. You know, when Adam, in order for Adam to receive a bride, and if you're a young person here and you're seeking to get married, you want to read Genesis chapter 2, and you'll see how God, he put Adam to work first. You know, he was in the garden. It's good to be employed. Amen? Before he got a wife, he put him to sleep, to rest in his will. You know, put him to sleep. And if you want to really marry in the Lord, you want first, it's nice to be employed, but the next thing is to be resting in his will and allow him to operate on your life. So he put Adam to sleep. And from that, he then took a rib and he fashioned it and made it into a woman. He brought Adam brought Eve to Adam. So if ever you want to ask the question, if you're going to get married, who's giving this woman to be married to this man? You ask God that, and you know what he would say? I did. God would say, I did. I brought Eve to Adam. So allow God to be the one to bring you together. And then, but what I want to bring out spiritually for us, just a part, just a rib was taken and was fashioned into the woman and brought to Adam, and he recognized her. But the point is, that was just for Adam to receive a bride, part of his life was taken. Just a part, just a rib was taken. But for the Lord Jesus to receive his bride, not just a rib was taken, brothers and sisters, but his life was given. His side was pierced for us, and there flowed up blood and water. What a wonderful thing that you and I are the bride of Christ today. And the disciples had lost sight of him for a while. Nothing will fill you with fear like losing sight of Jesus Christ. But when they saw him, they recognized, he showed them his hands that were nailed. And you know, I always said to, in the gospel, you know, when I visit people who die, even my parents, you know, their hands were at the side on their breast. But when you look at Jesus Christ, he died with his hands outstretched. And he was saying, there's a welcome for all. There's room at the cross for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, he is the answer still for you today. And so they saw him, his identification. And, you know, as a result, they recognized him. You want to always recognize him in your heart, in your home, in your work, in your school. Recognize his presence. Makes a difference. So he came and he took position. He stood in the midst. That's why when we gather together, we are gathered around him. Because we are two or three are gathered together, he is in the midst. And so here he was, and he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You know, when we come together, we do not come for a funeral, brothers and sisters. Thank God. We come for a feast. The Christian life is not a funeral. The Christian life is a feast. But you can have a feast without sacrifice. So there are bumps on the way. There are thorns. There are difficulties. But in Luke 24:15, he says, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The Lord is with us on the journey. But we must come to that point of seeing him. Fear is paralyzing. Do you know discouragement is a virus of the heart, and it is contagious. But you and I can be encouraging the Lord to know our Lord not only died, but he lives. And he revealed himself to them. And you know what happened? Then were the disciples glad when they saw them. That's why there's joy here. When I come here, I sense joy. Amen? Because our joy is not in our circumstances. Our joy is in Christ. And so when we come together, we do not come to remember one who is dead and absent. We come to remember one who died, was buried, rose again, is alive, and is present. And what a joy, brothers and sisters. If you know that, then when you come here, you will be able to sing what song we usually sing here at the meeting. With joy we worship thee, you know. Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, thou, with joy we worship thee. With joy we worship. Because our joy is in the Lord who has conquered every sin, every situation. And so he showed them, and then they were glad. He can turn sorrow into joy, amen? He can turn fear into faith. He can turn obstacles into opportunities. He can turn our scars into stars for his glory. When we recognize his presence with us, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the outward life, as I look at it, is bleak. Things are not getting better, and things wouldn't get better. Don't be discouraged. The upward look is bright. And when we look up, it's a bright prospect. We are going to see him. So anyhow, he said unto them, not only we have the identity, but the authority. And he said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. Not only the conquest of the cross, he was there in victory. When the Lord showed up here, he was the man of victory who was the man of Calvary. thank God he is the victorious one today, but he has authority. He says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So what authority he has. And you remember in John 4, he said, I came not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, and the Lord came not to do his will, but the will of him that sent him. But now he, the one who sent him, he was obedient to his Father even unto death. And now the disciples had watched him, they had seen him, but now he was telling them, I am sending you to go forth. You know, it is wonderful to worship the Lord, and it comes before witness, it comes before work. But we must not remain just to take in. The Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because there's no outlet. You and I, we are not here as a dam or as a reservoir. We are here as a cistern, as a pipeline to flow out. We receive, but we must give out. So he was sending them. And the Lord, you remember how he sent his own out into the world. In Matthew 28, remember, and he said, going to all the world, you know, and make disciples of all nations. So he wants us to, not only he shines in, but we must shine out. We must go out to others. We must share the good news. When we worship him, we must witness for him. Then you know what will happen? When you worship the Lord Jesus, you will have a fragrance, a sweet fragrance. You know, you don't have to see the fragrance, the person. You can stay and smell it from a distance, you know? Hallelujah. When you have been in Christ, and you have been around him, and you come to worship him, when you leave it, there ought to be a fragrance. See, in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3, remember he said his name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgin loved him. When you are with Christ, there's a sweet fragrance. And wherever you go, that fragrance will be not only seen, they will smell it. There's something different about you. And then, you know, the fragrance leads to fruitfulness, right? In John 15, you'll be bearing fruit. Glory. You know, the fruit on the tree is never for the tree. It's for others to enjoy. The fruit on the tree, very often when they're ripe, matured, oh, you can smell them, the sweet. The fruit on the tree, it doesn't hang on too strong. Easy to let go. And we don't cleave to this world. We're ready to let go of this world. But the fruit is there for others. So the fruit of the Spirit comes before the gift of the Spirit. And so we must be in the fragrance of Christ when we come to worship. We must see him. It must lead to fruitfulness, where the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, are being displayed in us, displayed through us. And then we will go on to the other thing. And then it will end up to being faithful. Isn't that nice? And you know, the world is counting success. They look at big churches, big crowd. I'm glad that size does not determine significance. Amen. The presence of the Lord makes the difference. And so, yeah, we want to grow. We don't want to dwindle. But we want to focus on what we have with Christ in our midst. And so the world counts success, but our God counts faithfulness. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and successful servant. But he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If we are faithful in the little things, he will make us faithful in greater things. So he sent them out. Anyhow, I got to close. And he told them, go. So the Lord is commissioning us this afternoon, to go out. Not only to just see the conquering Christ, but to communicate the conquering Christ to others. And then he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. They were with the Lord Jesus, who was filled of the Spirit, but they didn't have the Spirit as yet. But the Lord Jesus now told them that you're going to have the Holy Spirit. You're going to receive. But it's going to come into, this is only a pre, in light of Pentecost. When Pentecost comes, then the Holy Spirit will come down and it will baptize everyone into the one body of Christ. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes down. And last night, as I pointed out yesterday, we need to be filled with the Spirit. And that doesn't mean it's a substance. It doesn't mean that it's influence. It doesn't mean that you get more of the Spirit. No, not like other people said, you need more of the Spirit. You have all of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, can be grieved, and it makes intercession for us. But what it does mean, and what we do need as young people today, is that not only must we have the Holy Spirit, when Paul is saying be filled, it is, it, and I know Brother Steve is very good in teaching, so he would tell you that it is being filled. It's a continuous thing. It's not just a once for all. Once and for all, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. We have nothing to do with that. We are baptized. It's one baptism of the Spirit. We are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. But now being filled means I give my body totally to Jesus Christ, so that the Holy Spirit has absolute sway of my entire being. And so he said to them, receive ye the Holy Spirit, that they would come. But then he comes to conclusion and he said, the cancellation of sin, he said, as you preach the gospel, as you tell them, you can with assurance say that those who come to the Lord Jesus, their sins are forgiven. Doesn't matter how deep, doesn't matter how steep, it doesn't matter what it is, when we come to Christ, that sin is forgiven. So we don't have time now, but another time Brother Steve or Brother Bill will tell you, because of resurrection, there is restoration of the failure of anyone. Peter had failed, miserable. And Peter was done. When 1 Corinthians 15, I'll close with this quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6. You remember the Lord Jesus, how Paul writing, he said, I've received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he was delivered for our sins. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. And he said he was seen by many. But then he was seen by Cephas. Amen. The resurrected Christ took time out to meet with one who had fallen by the way. One who was not enjoying fellowship with the others. And he met with him in private. In 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrected Christ met with him in private and he never told anyone what he said. But now in John 21, the Lord Jesus, he met with him in public. And he said to him, Peter, come and dine. Come and have feast with me. Hallelujah. And you'll find the all apps after that, right? Feast with me. He said, come and dine. The Lord provided breakfast for him, lunch. And it was at a fire. So he knew he had failed him at a fire, but this was a fire of forgiveness. Mm. And this is publicly now, the resurrected Christ asked him, Peter, I have one question to ask you. Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter would answer, Lord, I'm fond of you. I love you. But you know what? You know all things about me. And that was what the resurrected Christ said. So in private, the resurrected Christ met with Peter. And he met with him in his failure. Now he brought him to the point of forgiveness publicly. And he was restored. Then he said, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And follow me. Amen. May the Lord help us. That you and I today, we would come to see the conquering Christ. We might come to hear his commission to us to go and tell others, but we might also have the confidence that he's faithful to forgive even when we have failed. Soon we are going to see him, and that's going to be the greatest joy. What a moment that will be, brothers and sisters, when we see him face to face, when we hear his voice. I used to say what a day that will be when my Jesus, but not now. I was in my room and I was done. And I said, what a moment that would be. And it can happen today. The prospect is bright. Let us be faithful to him for his name's sake. Amen.